The longest government shutdown in American history could be coming to an end as soon as tomorrow afternoon on Wednesday. And how we got here is a really amazing situation, amazing in the worst way, I'm afraid, because it shows the complete depravity of the American government and the dysfunction as the parties love to blame each other. And they've been kicking things around for a long time. And one side says this, another side says the other thing. But the bottom line is, both sides have allowed this to go on for so long to try and get some sort of political benefit for their party at the expense of the other party, because they love zero-sum games, and all of the bill payers are the American people. What has really aggravated me from the beginning is now playing out exactly as I feared that it would, which is the deal that finally was struck, and we always knew some kind of deal would get struck to end the shutdown. It was something that could have been done it just as easily before September 30th, when the previous fiscal year came to an end and before the new one, and there wouldn't have had to have been any disruption at all. So the American people gained nothing. No one gained anything. And in fact, really, even the political parties, I'm not sure that there was a lot of benefit for the Republicans. And really, a lot of that depends on how things shake out after here. But first of all, let me tell you how we got to where we are. After 40 days of complete dysfunction and nobody saying that they were going to give in to anything, all of a sudden, the Democrat, eight of them to be specific, eight senators, decided to cross their own party and decided to vote for the Republicans. And they had several reasons why they did. I've shown you that on previous episodes. It's really not that important why, other than I guess they were just tired of this and they wanted to get it done and move on, because some of the things that they said, and somehow some of them pounded their fist in the cameras and hit the lectern about how they cared about health care for the American people, which was the core issue that had started this whole downturn in the first place, or shutdown. They end up not getting that. So they literally got nothing. And of course, that has just infuriated so many on the base on the Democratic side, because they just had this big, huge, almost unprecedented blue wave of success across elections all over the United States on Tuesday of last week. And they literally forfeited all of that. And now then here we are. The Senate vote was last night, and it did pass. The one that's for record. So it was a 60-40 vote, exactly as suspected on the previous vote. I think it was on Sunday night. And then now, then here tomorrow, the House of Representatives is scheduled to be gaveled back in for the first time since their long vacation where they chose not to work at getting full pay. Now then, the earliest possible, they'll start debating and getting ready for a vote on their version of this, because the House has to vote on the same bill that the Senate passed last night. That could happen as soon as, or at least they could start that process at 4 p.m. on Wednesday afternoon. But let's take a look, a little bit a closer look at what happened and what the two sides are saying now, and then most importantly, where this is going to go. One final thing I'll point out about in terms of the deal that has been struck here, we need to be clear on this. It's not just that the government shutdown will be over after the House passes the bill as expected tomorrow, and then we can relax, everything's fine, and we'll see you next September. No, this is only going to get us through to the end of September. And many of the issues I'm about to show you about what led to the shutdown in the first place are still very much at play and could send us right back into a shutdown on the 30th of September. Let's see how we got there. First of all, let's take a look at the victorious Republicans. President Trump was just beside himself about how they got the Democrats to back down, how the president, the Senate, and the House, all led by Republicans, got literally everything that they wanted. The so-called concessions that the Republicans gave to get the Democrats to come over included following the existing law so that the federal government workers would get the back pay that the law promises that they would, even though they weren't working, or that the air traffic controllers and the ATA folks and all the other folks who've been working in airports, et cetera, who have been working and not getting paid, they also will get their back pay. People who were fired, they were going to unfire them. And so in the government, because a lot of that happened during the shutdown too, is kind of a punitive situation. It was relatively small numbers and made no sense at all. So they got that back too. So those are pretty small concessions on the Republican Party, literally cost them nothing. Most of those things shouldn't have been done at all. So the The Democrats, as far as I can see, came out with nearly nothing, and that was definitely not lost on Lindsey Graham.
About 41 days ago, Democrats told every Republican, we're going to shut the government down unless you do two things. Repeal the $1.5 trillion in savings from the Big Beautiful Bill by making Medicaid more affordable and eliminating illegal immigrants from having Medicaid. That saved $1.5 trillion. No more federal health care for illegal immigrants. They wanted to set that aside, and they wanted us to extend Obamacare the way it is today, where all the subsidies, $50 billion, go to insurance companies. They're getting filthy rich, and premiums have doubled. They wanted us to continue that. There's 190,000 people on Obamacare that don't even know they were on it until they got a call. So this thing is a scam. We held firm. And we're going to deal with health care in December. And what President Trump said 2 days ago, 3 days ago, I'm going to stop all the money going to insurance companies. I'm going to send it to you, the public. That changed everything.
Okay, so most of what he said there was an outright and known lie. Let's just call it what it is. Some of it had a little bit of substance to it. And then another part was just an outright fantasy. And let's take a look at some of those things. One of the things he said was that what the Democrats wanted to do, according to his interpretation, was that they wanted to give billions of dollars to illegal immigrants so that they could get health care, and that they wanted to undo all this $1.5 trillion worth of health benefits that otherwise came in during the Big Beautiful Bill. They wanted to undo the signature thing that the Republicans wanted. That was not true. That's not true at all. That's not what it was. In fact, the primary issue for the Democrat Party from the beginning, you cannot like the Democratic Party. You can be totally opposed to their issues, but you have to be accurate in what happened, what they were saying. See, let me just kind of pause there for a second. What you're going to see here, and most of this is on the Republican side today, but it's definitely been on the other side at different times as well, is that we have normalized lying. We will say things that are just grotesquely out of all proportion to reality, that they know that they're untrue and that they don't care. They will just say what they want their supporters to believe. And if possible, they want that the supporters of the other side to also believe the lie, so they turn against their side. And no one has any problem with this. It is a well-known fact, and it's not even hidden, that these people just blatantly lie. We have normalized lying such that a majority of people no longer can tell the truth from the fiction. They don't even know. It is so hard for a normal person to just bald-faced lie, just look you right in the face and just lie. It's really hard for them. Most people have a conscience. I mean, even if they're not really good people, most people have a conscience, and they have a hard time looking you in the eye and lying. So when they see someone else doing that, and especially if it's somebody on their team and on their political party, They have a habit of just believing what they're being told. And oftentimes they're not going to go back and look. They're not going to watch a deep dive show like this. The most they're going to see is a 3.5 minute TV's package on a news. And that's about the most they'll get. They might read a headline in social media or a 50 word text on a social media post of X or whatever. And that's all they're going to get. So you're not going to get the deep dive. And the problem with it is now that when they believe the lie, we get all kinds of bad policies. And then alternative in that is other times, then they just won't believe anything, even if they're telling the truth. And right now, because it's in their interest, a lot of the Democrats are actually telling the truth, but hardly anybody believes them, because when the situation, the roles have been reversed, it's been them who's been lying ad nauseum. And we can certainly go through all that another time. But the bottom line is that what the Republicans are saying today and what Lindsey Graham just said there is completely untrue. So let's take a look at, I'm going to take a look in just a second about what the Democrats did say and what their points were and where they still are in many cases. But I want to take a look, first of all, at Brian Tyler Cohen, because he is representing really a lot of Democrats, and they are just absolutely beside themselves that with all of the motivation, the momentum they had coming out of last Tuesday's vote, that they literally just capitulated the whole thing.
8 Senate Democrats broke away from the rest of the party last night, cutting a deal with Senate Republicans.
Wow, pretty wild to see all those chants from the No Kings protests finally take effect. What do we want? Healthcare! When do we want it? After a possible non-binding vote on some arbitrary date in the future! I'm sorry, but I cannot believe the Democrats caved. I mean, I can believe it, but I can't believe it. For the first time in seemingly forever, after sweeping multiple elections in multiple states, when numerous polls showed that Republicans were rightfully to blame for the government shutdown, a handful of Democratic senators essentially tapped on the glass and said, "Hey, we're weak. How do you like them apples?" Now, to be fair, with this deal, Democrats did get a reversal of the federal layoffs that happened during the shutdown, and they also got the government entirely funded.
Through the end of January.
Sorry, entirely funded for all of about 75 days. And then we're going to do this whole food assistance fight again in a few months.
Yeah, and that's that last part there. I mean, there's a lot of people that are saying, listen, I think I've told you many times, I'm not a Republican, I'm not a Democrat, I'm an American. I had just eschewed the political parties. I just go with whatever policy is better for America, and I don't care who has it. I have my own personal proclivities as far as conservative or liberal or so, and I use that to guide my life. You can pretty much figure that out. It's conservative. Values and morals and economic policies, et cetera. But I go with whatever policies is going to make the deal. So I'm not a fan of either. In fact, I'm against both parties. Don't like what they're doing. Don't like the fact that they lie and they will just tell people whatever they want to hear at any time. And then they shift back and forth, et cetera. But man, I kind of feel for a lot of the folks who are supporting the Democratic Party, because truly it looked like they had all the wind behind their sails after last Tuesday's vote. And I thought, well, they're going to be able to finally get what they want. And they're going to make some hay here. As you certainly know, if you've been watching our coverage of this from the beginning, I've just said, look, both parties are also to blame in that y'all could both get this over with quickly. You could both end the shutdown. And if you just got into a room and actually did your job, and then we wouldn't have had to have this in the first place, or it could have been over really quick. And neither side wanted to do that. But when it looked like the Democrats had the momentum on the side, I thought, well, now this is probably going to go on a lot longer, because the Democrats now have some actual leverage that they didn't have before. And then I'm agreeing with Brian there. They just literally handed it over. And I still am believing that there's probably something that was happening behind the scenes, some kind of deals. And I bet this will come out in the weeks ahead, weeks or months ahead, maybe. It was some kind of a deal that was going on there, because this is just a little too odd the way that this came out. All right, hang on. Come here. We're not going to do that again. Lord have mercy. We just did this not long ago. I'm going to have to fix that. I'm sorry. Where was I? My dog created this again. Ah, yes. The government shutdown and crazy people. Turns out I've got a crazy dog behind me. But we'll continue on and push ahead. Senator Kennedy is another one of these. And this is the reason I selected this one here to show, is because this also shows just how much lying and emoting and acting that these guys do, because he's going to sit here and he's just going to use that old folksy sound that he has and his accent. And he's just going to, you know, I'm just a regular old guy. And man, I don't know what was wrong with these darn Democrats. Most of what he's going to say is a lie. Watch this.
Senator Schumer chose to have this shut down. And it's clear, it was clear at the time, it's clear now. He just dug up more snakes than he could kill. His demands were unreasonable. They were so unreasonable that they weren't even within the realm of possibility on my side of the aisle. And we were prepared to just sit there as much as it hurt. We didn't have a choice. We couldn't possibly do what Senator Schumer wanted us to do.
What does that even mean? Dug up enough snakes that he couldn't deal with it. I don't even know what that colloquial term means. I don't know that he does either. But golly, you're listening to that and you're thinking, man, what was this horrible, desperately bad thing that Senator Schumer did that, gosh, he just doesn't know what to do. How could we possibly in that? I mean, what kind of incredible, unreasonable things was Senator Schumer and the Democrats asking for? Well, as it turns out, Senator Schiff explains.
All of this is backdrop to the funding bill running out in September. But there was one other thing that was key to the fight that began in September. And that is, we got to see the first impacts of that big, ugly bill, because insurance companies in the exchanges started posting what their new premiums were going to be. And by getting rid of those subsidies, people's premiums shot up by 50%, 100% or more. Millions of people, 20 million people, saw their premiums double. Those notices have gone out just in the last few weeks. So we got to see the real price. I got to hear it from my constituents who wrote to me, who called our office to explain how they had pre-existing conditions, how they were not going to be able to afford insurance and couldn't afford to be without insurance. This was the crisis that was created by Republicans, by the president in that big, ugly bill. And this was the backdrop for the fight over the funding bill.
So despite what Lindsey Graham says, despite what Senator Kennedy said, that was the issue. And it's always been the issue. And it's not been hidden. It's been out there in the open. The Democrats said that now then, because of these insurance companies talking about if the tax credits, if they expire at the end of the year, this is what's going to happen to the premiums. They're going to go through the roof. Now, if you want to take aim at the insurance companies, and the Republicans have been doing that, I think I showed you yesterday, Lindsey Graham has this big chart and he's talking about all this gouging that they're doing. There's room for that. Check that out. By all means, if these guys are soaking people and getting themselves filthy rich based on overpriced premiums, then absolutely let's bring that down. Let's take a look at that. I'm 100% for that. But don't say that because they're doing that, that we're going to screw the people and we're not going to do anything for them, because these subsidies are set to expire. This is not something that the Democrats knew like 6 months in advance, et cetera. This is something that was announced by the insurance company shortly before the fiscal year funding bill for September of 2025 expired. And so now then they're saying, okay, before we're going to vote to extend this and to give us the new budget for the fiscal year 26, we're going to have this fixed here. So we're going to extend the subsidies or come up with something new, whatever, but they're not going to just say we're going to do nothing and let them expire at the expense of the people for the Affordable Care Act. Now, of course, as you know, because I've said many times, the Republicans absolutely, and the president especially, hates the ACA, what they call the Obamacare. I think I've shown you some of the True Socials that President Trump has signed, where he just continues to use that term Obamacare, because he hates it. And he wants to get rid of it. And now then, what they're saying is, you know what? How's about instead of extending these tax credits, we just give them the money and they can go and they get something that's a lot better, it's cheaper, et cetera. Okay, if you want to do that, where is your plan? Now, let's be crystal clear on something here, because the Republicans say, oh, yeah, y'all just want to go down this thing and this terrible ACA and this awful plan. There's problems with it. There's no question about that. I'm definitely not defending this as some utopian thing at all. There's a lot of problems with it. The insurance companies gouging is one issue. That's been going on for a long time, but that is a problem. But there's another problem on top of that the Republicans won't tell you about that is part of their deception and malpractice. I'm just going to call it what it is. You've had a decade of time to come up with an alternative plan. People have been begging you to come up. You've been promising for years and years and years, ever since Trump was in office the first time, ever since the ACA was first signed into a law, even before Trump came on the scene, the Republicans hated it with a passion. And they always talked about how bad it was, and they've never done a damn thing about it to provide an alternative. All they want to do is to throw rocks at it. They've tried legislation to kill it. They tried to starve it to death. They tried to do everything. And it appears on the surface anyway that they were trying to use this shutdown as the vehicle to finally kill it. So destroying something that is a primary thing of the Democratic Party that they've held up as a law because it got, I think, somewhere around 20 million people onto some kind of health insurance that didn't have it before. Yeah, let's go ahead and harm the Democratic Party by getting rid of that and letting it die an ugly death and just claiming a plan that doesn't exist. We're just going to give them money so that they can go on the open market and buy it. Now, where do you think, with no plan, no insurance company is set up for this, no plan that's out there that has, you know, something that exists that you can go purchase, that with no planning is going to be able to have this influx of tens of millions of people all at one time? No one is set up to handle that. And let's even look at the more fundamentals. And where is this money going to come from? Republicans, you want this to go on, Mr. President? This is something you want to happen? You haven't had a plan, and now then with no plan, you just throw out this category. Let's let them have money and go buy the plan. How's that going to work? How much do the plans cost? Where's that money going to come from? How much are you going to give to each person? How is it going to be distributed? How is it going to be allocated? What are the criteria that's going to be used? You see what I'm saying? These are things I'm just talking about right off the top of my head. There's no plan for any of it. It's something that can't be done. But what is coming in just mere weeks from now is that what millions of Americans have predicated their healthcare on is going to come to an end. And the prices are going to spike. And so either people of limited means are going to be paying a lot more, or they're going to be forced out of the market altogether because they won't be able to pay a lot more. Why do we not care about them? That's one of the things that just angers me the most. Okay, you're Republican, you don't like the ACA, you want something better, cool. Do the hard work. But in the absence of doing the hard work, why are you okay with harming millions of Americans? And look, even if you're so crass that you're okay with harming Democrats, there's millions of these people that are your voters. There are millions of American Republicans who voted for you who need this subsidy. Why do you not care? And of course, the truth is, it shouldn't make a damn bit of difference what their political persuasion is. They're Americans. It's supposed to be the government. It's not supposed to be the Republicans, or in other years, it's not supposed to be the Democrats. It's supposed to be the government. It's supposed to take care of the people. I happen to be wearing a shirt. We the people. That's what this is all about, man. It's supposed to be about all the people, no matter who voted for you. I mean, President Trump, when he was inaugurated, said, I want to bring the people together. I want to be the president for everybody. I cheered that on at the time. But now it appears that that was a lie. It was just something to say to make himself look good. I don't know. I don't know why you would say that if you don't mean it. But it's the way it is supposed to be, that we're supposed to be the government for the people. We, all the people, every political persuasion is supposed to be taken care of. Why are you okay with harming them, your opponent, and harming the American people as a weapon and a tool to use against your opponent? It's disgusting. And I'm sick of it. I mean, I'm just flat out telling you, I'm sick and tired of it. And I want to see something change. Now, interesting, the Democrats, they're also upset. Even some of the members of the Congress and some of the House of Representatives on the Democratic side are also upset at Schumer. It's not just the Republicans are making fun of him. And one wonders, will Senator Schumer actually survive this as the leader of the Senate?
The senators who voted for it have been on TV saying that they kept Schumer in the loop at every step of the way. You don't just have a deal like this happen with the Senate minority leader not blessing it. And if he was really opposed to this, but you had eight senators going rogue, he could have called them out publicly. He could have said that he's strongly disagreed with what they were doing. He did none of that. So what he tried to do is have his cake and eat it too. He would vote no, but he would get enough people to vote yes and cut the deal. And you know what? For the longest time, these kind of tactics have worked in Washington, but not for this moment, not for this new generation. They're tired of the political games. They're tired of kind of this spin, and they want people who are going to actually stand up for working class values. That's why I was the first Democrat elected to call for him to be replaced. Now others have been echoing that call.
How is it being received?
You know, I'm surprised that it's being received rather well.
Yeah, so we'll see what's going to happen. Obviously, Schumer is, trying to put on a good face right now. I think I showed you yesterday that video of him, you know, saying he's going to vote no, and he's upset, and he's, you know, was very stern in the camera, et cetera. We'll see what's going to happen with that. But there's certainly a lot of people in the Democratic Party, especially the rank and file, that are really upset about how easily they capitulated, especially when they capitulated. I mean, if anything, you might say, well, why didn't you do that before the election? I mean, why did you wait until after this big success? It seemed like it couldn't possibly have been at a worse time for the Democrats, and shows a pretty big problem with the leadership judgment and his ability to lead, because obviously he is the leader of the Democrats in the Senate, and yet he couldn't control eight of his own members. So by definition, that sounds like he's not really an effective leader of the Democrats. So we'll see if he is replaced. I don't know how that works, frankly, in the Democratic Party. I don't know how they make a decision. I don't know that I've ever seen one in American history where they replaced them in the middle of a session. I'm not that in touch with all of the details. Maybe it's happened in the past, but it certainly hadn't happened in a long time. It would be a very rare thing indeed. So we'll see if that's going to happen. Well, what's going to happen next? Where are we in all this? So as I said, potentially as early as 4 p.m. tomorrow afternoon on Wednesday, the House of Representatives will be back in session. They, by the way, will swear in Representative Grijalva from Arizona. That brings up an interesting possibility, because now then that makes sure the potential 218th vote to get the Epstein list released. So we'll see how that's going to happen. Well, I'm sure that'll take a lot of people are going to be pushing for that, and we'll be paying a lot of attention to that. That could come ascension anyway, could come as early as tomorrow, should come as early as tomorrow, and then they'll have a vote. So it's entirely possible that by this time tomorrow, the government will be officially back open. They'll be starting the process. Airlines will start to finally get back to their normal schedule. They've already said that, by the way, that, you know, this is not an immediate thing. This is not an instant movement. There could be a big problem with how a lot of this is done, because you have a lot of things scheduled, and it takes time to unwind that and get people back on their schedules, et cetera. So we're probably still going to have some issues. But as I suspected, it looks like they are going to get this solved prior to Thanksgiving, because I figured that the cost to everybody would be really high. The cost to themselves of trying to get home on the airline situation, where it would just be a complete madhouse, and probably still going to be even more chaotic than normal, because they're probably, about the time they get this stuff close to being unwound, there we're into the travel situation for the Thanksgiving holiday, which is always one of the most snarled and difficult air traffic times anyway. So, but still, that's kind of settled. And then that kind of gets you into the holiday season, where you don't have to worry about this stuff, and all the travel that's going to go around for Christmas is, can kind of get back to seasonal norms. What happens next, though? Because what we have then is a promise sometime in the month of December, where the Republican leader, John Thune, said, okay, as part of this agreement, as a submission to the Democrat senators, we'll have a vote on these ACA extensions in December. Well, it doesn't take a rocket science to figure out that the Republicans, from Lindsey Graham to Senator Kennedy to President Trump himself, and quite a number of others, have been absolutely emphatic about saying that this is a disastrous thing, and they want no part of it. So in my view, there's not even a little chance. There's like literally none, zero, that the Republicans, who still have the majority, who still have the numbers, are going to agree to anything that the Democrats want. So a lot of these Democrats that I think I showed you the other day about how they, the ones who crossed the line here against their party leadership, and they were saying, well, you know, at least we're going to get our votes, so there's a chance. No, there's not. So you literally gave that away for nothing. So you can just mark that off. That's not going to happen. But the real question is, then what is going to happen? So what happens when that gets voted down sometime in December, and then on January 1st, the whole thing comes to an end, and now then all these, the prices go up, the premiums are increased, and people are having to physically face the choice. Do I pay money that I otherwise don't have? Maybe the margins are really small, and now the margins are gone, and I have to do that to keep health care, or we're going to have to get less health care than we wanted, or that they won't be able to get it at all. They might lose all their health care. There's every reason to think that a lot of people simply aren't going to have the money. And this claim by President Trump that he just kind of pops off without thinking about this through, without even knowing the fundamentals and the practicalities of how giving them money to go out and buy something on the on the market it would work. There's, in my view, also zero chance that that works before the 30th of January. So what's going to happen in the likelihood that the Republican-controlled Senate does not agree to extend the ACA tax credits, or that the House doesn't agree to it? Remember, for a while, it wasn't even clear, and still isn't clear, that the House of Representatives will even take up the measure. They say, yeah, the Senate said they would do it. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. So the House might not even pick it up. So that it might be an even bigger dead issue than even if the Republican-controlled Senate does what it's expected to do and votes no on those things anyway. So that's why I say that there's literally no chance on that. So now then we're going to have to face what's going to happen to those senators, because now then, unless President Trump's admonition to the Republicans is finally acted on and they get rid of this issue where you have to have 60 votes in the Senate, and that's what he's been saying. Let's get rid of that provision. Let's just go to a simple majority where they have to vote. So get rid of it altogether. And so then that way we can just rule as we want because we've got the numbers. If he doesn't do that, then we're going to be getting into the situation into January where we're going to come down again to where now then the Democrats are going to have to be faced again, like they were in September, like they were last night. Are you going to vote with the Republicans to have a spending bill that goes the rest of the fiscal year up through the end of September 30th that does not include anything for the ACA? If they say no, then folks, what does that mean? It means we're going to be right back to where we are today, where we've been for the last 42 days with the government shutdown. That is unbelievable. That is how close we are to having this just be a temporary thing to just get through the holidays. And then we could be right back where we are now. That's the big issue. And that's what everybody needs to understand. The literal core issue that led to the shutdown and that led to the required the Democrats to capitulate and get this thing passed still is front and center. And the same Republicans that led and have the numbers in both the House and the Senate are still going to have the numbers in the House and the Senate. And the people are still going to be struggling, except this time it's going to be different because there's going to be more pressure, because now then those people are going to be, not might be, but are going to be paying more for their premiums. And they are going to be hurting, and potentially millions, or at least hundreds of thousands potentially, could be knocked out of any insurance because they just don't have enough. And they're going to have to decide, do we eat, do we pay our rent, or do we keep health care? It's unbelievable in this country that we claim so often that we're, you know, the leader of all of the West and the greatest nation on earth and the most powerful military and all this stuff, chooses to let our people go through this kind of choice that some in very poor countries, you know, on the outskirts of the world, on the bottom of the economic ladder, make because they don't have a choice. They just don't have the money. And they literally have to make those kind of life-altering decisions because they don't have the resources to go around. We have all the resources in the world, but we don't have the political will or the morality to take care of our own people. We have such hatred for the other party, defined in either direction, that we're willing to let people in the millions in our own country on the lower part of the economic ladder suffer. And as we've seen during this, I mean, even with the SNAP benefits, people who were in the lower economic strata who needed these SNAP benefits to eat properly, for their kids to eat. We don't care. The President of the United States took it to the Supreme Court to prevent having to pay that, because he wanted to keep the political leverage, one can assume. I can't think of any other reason why he did that, took it to the Supreme Court. Certainly wasn't because he cared about the people, because he didn't. And as you saw in that Truth Social post I put up just last night, I was just livid about how he was excoriating all the air traffic controllers because they didn't, quote, act like patriots and work really hard all the time under all this stress with no pay. That's where we are, folks. And listen, I told you, I once considered myself a Republican, left it a long time ago. Man, I got to think that there's still some good people that are going to say, this party does not represent what I do, morality. If you're one of those who wants to claim we're a Christian nation or that the Republican Party has Christian values, just check that at the door on your way out, because there's no truth to it. And it's graphically on display. And if you are one of those people who are a good Christian person who has the values of the Bible and of Jesus Christ and wants to live it and genuinely does, you're going to have a hard time reconciling being part of a party that prioritizes the rich. This is not a statement. This is a matter of fact, who punishes the weak and the powerless, is unconcerned about people who are struggling, and is gleefully ready to take action that's going to keep millions of your fellow citizens in a position to where they may either lose their health care coverage or that they may lose their economic viability because they now are going to have to decide what they're going to not buy and what they're going to not eat and maybe even lose their house or their rent or something like that. Is that the kind of party that you want to be a part of? I certainly don't. I've left that behind, and I've got plenty of problems on the left too. So, we can get into that another day. So this is not an endorsement of the Democratic Party by any stretch, but this is something that we have to come to grips with as Americans. And we should all be doing this on both sides of the aisle here, in both parties. Are these parties representing what we actually believe, what we think we believed, what we've always thought of ourselves as a nation that cares about people? I mean, these are hard questions that need to be answered. This is also part of what needs to be done here in this retrospective after this is done here, and even in the very short window when it may be happening again. What kind of country are we? What do we want to be? It's a valid question to ask. We're going to keep asking it. I'm going to keep bringing you stuff. Well, we're going to keep on top of this, and especially if it happens tomorrow the way we expect, we'll bring you any changes that may have had, what the actual agreements say, and then we'll be looking forward to whatever. We're going to keep you updated, and we are unintimidated and uncompromised to bring you the truth, no matter what it is, whether it's foreign policy, domestic policy, or U.S. politics. You can count on us to bring it to you. Appreciate you, folks. We'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow on the Daniel Davis Deep Dive.